This afternoon session will be closed by our worship service, meditation period, the verse choir reading from the second chapter of Philippians, and the handbell choir playing. And so you will be seated until that is finished, and after that, the 72nd annual meeting of Women's Missionary Union will be adjourned. I would like to ask Mr. Fon Schofield from the Foreign Mission Board to stand, and Miss Johnny Johnson to stand. These two friends from the Foreign Mission Board are largely responsible for the writing and the production of the story of Lottie Moon. And now, Women's Missionary Union proudly presents to you the first showing of the story of Lottie Moon.
House 300 years old, which Lottie Moon calls the Little Crossroads. This is a land of superstition, where strange gods rule by fear. Childhood together return in a nostalgic flood. She recalls the prophetic moment when she had confided to her sister that she must give her life to carry the gospel to the heathen. Now, years later, Lottie Moon, a product of the culture of the Old South, carries on the work to which she has committed her life. Among her fellow missionaries are Dr. and Mrs. T.P. Crawford, who have spent many years in China.
You have very comfortable quarters here, Miss Moon.
I'm very fortunate to be here. After I took poor Edmonia back to Virginia, I wondered if I would ever see China again. Dr. Tupper wrote that the Foreign Mission Board was so heavily in debt that no funds were available for my transportation.
Whatever did you do?
I went to Richmond to find out why all the Baptists in the South couldn't raise enough money to send me back to China. I told Dr. Tupper that I wanted to be home by the first of the year. I'll always remember his puzzled expression until I explained to him that home is where the heart is, and that my heart was in China.
I'm sure that if more of our people understood that feeling, there'd be greater support for our efforts.
Oh, I'm very grateful, especially to the Baptist women of Virginia and Georgia who raised the money for this home. Of course, the Chinese never sell to a foreigner.
That's very true. Yes.
So put my money in a Shanghai bank. 6% interest pays for my rent.
An excellent arrangement. As excellent, in fact, as this cookie.
It's simply delicious. Wherever did you find them in Dung Chau? They're made from a recipe my mother taught me. How do you ever find time for baking? It is a problem, the way some people are about letting others in their kitchen.
Is he proving satisfactory?
Completely. I don't know what I'd do without him. He was one of our first converts.
Yes. His family raised quite a fuss about it. They resented teachings that were contrary to their own customs.
Some of the customs appall me, like the binding of little girls' feet. Why, I'd have three times as many pupils if I ignored this barbaric practice. But I shan't. I'll not be a party to anything that keeps women in bondage.
I admire your spirit. It's the kind we need if we're to measure up to the opportunities the Lord has given us here. One third of all the people on earth. Ours to lead into his kingdom.
But a little boy had a basket with 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fishes. He could see that the people were hungry. So he offered to share his food with them. The boy gave the bread and fishes to Jesus, and Jesus took the food and blessed it. It was a miracle. Then there was enough food to feed all the people.
Thank you, Maylee. You read very nicely. Jesus wants us all to share with one another, as a little boy did. He wants us all to love one another, as his Father in heaven loves us. Tomorrow we shall read about another miracle, when Jesus opened the eyes of a man who had always been blind. And now, children, class is over for today. Giving water to the flowers in the garden.
The flowers are no longer thirsty. I have given them all a drink.
Very well. I will get your money. Now run along.
What is this, please?
That is a fork. It's like a chopstick, but much easier for me to use.
Fork?
Many words of knowledge. What would you do if I gave this book to you?
I will fill my stomach with knowledge.
Then it is yours to keep. May your stomach never be empty.
Thank you.
How hungry he is for knowledge. The longer I live in China, the more I see of hunger. Not only is each finger, and exactly in the shape of a hand. The people of your country must be very skillful. The people of all countries have many different skills, but there is one skill that no one possesses. No one can make God. We can make even more difficult things than gloves. We can make steamboats and sewing machines. But we cannot make God. Perhaps if you saw one of our gods, then you could make one. No, we cannot make God. She does not want to see our God. Our God is made of mud. She does not worship a mud god. Do you? We do not worship things made by the hands of men. We worship only the one true God, who made all the men and women and children since the world began. The God who made the world, the sea, the mountains, the sky, the moon, and the stars. We worship him because he is our Father, who loves us. And someday, if we love and trust him, he will take our souls to heaven to live with him forever. We are taught that when death comes, one of our three souls remains in a temple for 2 days. Then our sons burn a horse made of paper on which the soul journeys to the spirit world. Those who are poor and suffer here suffer in the next world. The prosperous here will be prosperous there. To one who has not lived among them, the spiritual darkness of these people is unbelievable.
And always she sees the physical hunger as famine sweeps province after province. Torn by the sight of thousands dying, she writes desperate appeals to her friends in America.
May you dear people in the South be spared from ever seeing a fellow human being actually starve to death. I am seeing it here. I appeal to you in the name of the Redeemer to send contributions at once.
Life and death for so many. Lottie Moon never writes home about these incidents when she and her fellow missionaries go hungry that others might have food. But those who work with her and know her realize that no sacrifice is too great. As the years pass, famines come and go. Life goes on in China as it has for centuries. Custom and superstition hold the people in an iron bond from which few ever escape. But now, as she conducts her little school for girls, one question keeps returning to Lottie Moon's mind. Is this the work God wants her to do? Or can she serve him better through the mothers of China?
I am a teacher, and I love to teach. But is this my most effective witness?
Oh, I'm sure your time is well occupied.
But is it occupied in the right way? Wouldn't it be better to visit the women out in the villages and tell them of God's love? I've been talking to Mr. Zhao about his village in Pingdu. He tells me it is seldom visited by foreigners.
And for good reason. The people are suspicious and unfriendly.
He says the women might be more responsive.
Our men have found it dangerous there.
Nevertheless, I would like to visit Pingdu.
There would be no men there to protect you in case of trouble.
What is there to fear? God is with me. Why do we stop here?
We are in Lai Zhou Fu.
What are you doing?
I am muffling the bell of the animal.
Why?
The people here are very hostile to foreigners.
It is is 115 miles from Tung Chau to Pingdu, and the journey takes 7 days. More than once, Miss Moon wonders if she has been foolish not to heed Dr. Crawford's warnings. Every mile takes her deeper into primitive, hostile country, beyond the reach of friends. Not until her servant's mother dares to risk the anger of the neighbors does Miss Moon find a place to rest after her long journey. But finding permanent quarters seems hopeless, for to the men of Pingdu, Miss Moon is devil old woman, a foreigner to be feared and despised. Just when it seems she must abandon her plans for working among the village women, Mr. Zhao finds a man so addicted to drugs that he seems ready to do anything for money. Yet he hesitates, fearing the wrath of his neighbors if he rents his house to this foreign woman. Mr. Zhao bargains with him. Eventually, he is won over by the lure of money to satisfy his craving. And so, born of a man's desperation, Lottie Moon settles down to carry on the Lord's work from her new home in the house of the opium eater. In the villages of the Pingdu area, Lottie Moon finds vast new fields in which to work. Her first task is to win the friendship of the villagers. The cookie she had learned to make as a girl in Virginia win the confidence of the children. The Chinese clothing she adopts lessens the gulf between her and the village women. She visits countless towns and hamlets in the province, as many as 10 in a single day, alone and friendless among people who have never before seen an American woman. And then, in the village of Sa Ling, Lottie Moon finds a warm-hearted response to her efforts to bring the light of God's love to those who live in spiritual darkness. It is a rich reward for the weary miles of travel and the indifferences that have so long frustrated her. For here in Sa Ling, she finds a sect with beliefs born in antiquity, beliefs which somehow have a strange affinity with Christianity. Sa Ling is a milestone in Lottie Moon's missionary service in China. But it is to have a wider meaning that is part of God's purposes and beyond any human capacity to see.
Two men of Sa Ling would pay humble respects.
Men?
Yes. They have heard of your teachings among women and children.
Very well. Tell them to come in.
Venerable one is Mr. Lee, who wishes to make inquiry about your teachings. The youthful one embraced the teachings of Jesus when but a small boy. He is the one known as Chun Ming Ho.
Chun Ming Ho is a name I seem to have heard before.
It was the name of an ignorant but curious boy who once quenched the thirst of flowers in the garden at Tung Chau.
You are that boy?
That troublesome boy who seeks to fill his stomach with knowledge.
Oh, I am so very happy to see you again. And has your stomach been filled?
It is comfortable with the knowledge of the true God. My venerable friend also seeks to fill himself with knowledge.
We have no classes for men, but I would be glad to give him a book that will show him the way to faith.
Ah, but my unfortunate friend cannot read.
In my ignorance, I have been blessed with a kinsman who can read. He has offered to help me. I beseech the heavenly book visitor to do likewise.
Heavenly book visitor?
It is a term of friendship among my people for you who show the way of life.
Thank you. heavenly book visitor. How different from the devil old woman they called me when I first arrived in Pingdu.
Lottie Moon quickly sees that the Pingdu area, and especially Sa Ling, are fields indeed, white unto harvest. But the work is beyond the physical endurance of one woman. She writes frequent appeals to Dr. Tupper at the Foreign Mission Board, pleading for reinforcements. There is an urgent need for missionaries, for ministers to preach and baptize. But the workers do not come. She carries on alone, showing the strain of 10 unbroken years without rest. In the summer of 1887, Lottie Moon returns to her little crossroads home in Tung Chau. It is time for that long-awaited furlough that will take her back to Virginia and her loved ones.
I'm afraid I shall be very uncomfortable in my American clothing again. Sometimes I feel almost guilty about going home. You must look upon it as a well-earned rest, during which time you'll build up your strength for all the work that lies ahead. I'm afraid my thoughts will be constantly with those dear people at Pingdu, Sa Ling, the flock without a shepherd. At times I wonder if we're not forgotten here.
And I must confess, I've often wondered that, too.
It's always the same story. The mission board has no funds to send new workers here. Think of it. 1 million Baptists in the South, supporting only a handful of missionaries in all of China. Why, there are hundreds of preachers in Virginia alone, and not one to fill our pulpit here. I wonder how these things look in heaven.
I know how discouraging it is. All of us been disturbed by the lethargy at home. But we are sustained by the knowledge that the Lord has permitted us to bring many souls into his fold.
But the people at home can't expect the Lord to do everything. I'm praying that when I return, that I can awaken all my people to their responsibilities.
Prayers will be with you, Lottie.
There are some outside who would like to speak to you.
Oh. Well, tell them to go away and come back again some other time. I must finish my packing.
But they walk over 100 miles to see the lady they call Heavenly Book Visitor.
100 miles?
Yes, from Sa Ling.
Please show them in. And Mr. Zhao, please serve tea to our visitors.
We have come to speak for our fellow Christians at Sa Ling. It is our humble wish that a church may soon come to our village.
These things take time.
But the waiting would be less painful if you were at Pingdu with us.
Our women and children wish to learn more of the gospel.
I have not seen my people for many, many years. Surely you can understand my desire to visit my family.
But the Heavenly Book Visitor has a family here.
A family she has brought to God.
The miles we have walked will be as nothing if you will but return home with us.
For months I have been dreaming of Virginia, of my sister Edmonia, of the home I have not seen for so many years. And now these men are asking me to return with them to my other home. What was it I said to Dr. Tupper and Richmond? Home is where the heart is. And my heart is in China. have decided to try to hold on until next June.
But four more Junes will come and go. Four more years will pass before the promised workers arrive.
We do so long for new missionaries, but we realize that the board can act only as the churches provide the means. So I will go back to Pindu for the winter. I recently read a report of the Methodist Women's Board of Missions. In the past year, they raised over $66,000, half of which was used in China. They observed the week preceding Christmas as a week of prayer and self-denial. Why should we not learn from these noble women? And instead of the paltry offerings we make, do something that will prove we are really in earnest in claiming to be followers of Him, who, though He was rich, for our sakes became poor. Until the women of our Southern Baptist churches are thoroughly aroused, we shall continue to see mission stations so poorly manned that missionaries break down from overwork, loneliness, and isolation. I wonder how many of us really believe that it is more blessed to give than to receive. A woman who accepts that statement of our Lord Jesus Christ as a fact and not as impractical idealism will make giving a principle in her life.
Throughout the convention, the women respond to Lottie Moon's fervent plea. In church after church, they rally with prayer and contributions. Woman's Missionary Union is formed. In 1892, as the reinforcements urged by Miss Moon begin to arrive in China, she returns to her beloved homeland, not to rest from her arduous years of service, but to inspire her fellow Christians to greater efforts.
The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye, therefore. Now, you may have wondered why the week before Christmas was chosen for our great appeal. May I remind you that this is the festive season when friends and families exchange gifts in memory of the gift laid on the altar of the world for the redemption of the human race. Is that not the most appropriate time to consecrate a portion from both abounding riches and scant poverty to send forth good tidings of great joy into all the world? How many there are among us who imagine that because Jesus paid it all, they need pay nothing, forgetting that the prime object of their salvation is that they should follow in the footsteps of their Savior in bringing a lost world back to God.
Bringing a lost world back to God can mean only one thing to Lottie Moon: China. And so for the remaining years of her life, she gives herself to the task to which God has called her. History swirls violently around her. The war between China and Japan, the Boxer Rebellion, epidemic and famine, during which she starves herself so that others may have food. As always, her spirit is nourished by the one to whom she has brought so many souls.
O unspeakable grace, O admirable condescension, O immeasurable love, specially bestowed on man. But what shall I return to the Lord for this grace, for charity so unparalleled? There is nothing else that I am able to present more acceptable than to offer my heart wholly to God and to unite it most inwardly unto Him. Then He will say unto me, "If thou art willing to be with me, I am willing to be with thee." And I will answer him, Vouchsafe, O Lord, to remain with me, for I will gladly be with thee. This is my whole desire.